So in preparing for this lesson, you know, I did some research through some psychology like I've been doing throughout this whole course of David. You know, there's a lot of psychology involved here. And I found this article that was in Psychology Today written by Dr. Susan Heitler. And she explained this, that great friends actually extend our life. They extend our life. A 10-year-long Australian study showed that participants with solid friend groups were 20% more likely to live longer. Do you know that? That's a pretty interesting percentage there for people that have good friends. Now, unfortunately, a bad friend can have the opposite effect, is what she says, yielding increased vulnerability to all the stress-related body signs, higher blood pressure, lowered immunity, higher blood sugar, depression, anxiety. The list goes on. Then she writes, but how do you know if you're in a friendship that's affecting your health and killing your spirit? Well, today we're going to look at that. We're going to look at King David and King Saul and see how this relationship was toxic. It was bad. It was evil. It caused all kinds of problems in David's life. We're also going to look at the Bible and see what it says about how we deal with these types of relationships in our life. Okay, now I'm not talking about two people that are joined in marriage. I'm talking about outside influences, friends in your life. Because if you're joined in marriage and it's toxic, you need to go see some counselors. That needs to be worked out. There are situations, however, where there are toxic people in our life, and we need to be able to identify them and understand how to deal with them in a biblical way. I'm going to kind of summarize the last couple of chapters of 1 Samuel. I'm going to point out a few things. So in 24, we know that David's been running from Saul, right? Saul's tried to kill David multiple times, threw spears at him, chased him down with a whole legion of men. David had a great opportunity to kill Saul. Saul goes into a cave by himself. David and his men happen to be in this cave. And David had an opportunity to end this right now and take Saul's life, and he didn't. Saul tried to kill David multiple times after that, and David continued to be on the run. And then we see in 1 Samuel 26 again that Saul again pursues David. After David pointed out to Saul that I could have taken your life today, and David said, or Saul says, David, my son, right? And he shows some sense of repentance in that situation, but his actions show us a different Saul. He may have said it with his mouth, but in his heart, there was no change. In 1 Samuel 26, Saul says to David again, after David has a chance to kill Saul, they go into his camp, and he has a chance to kill Saul, and David calls him out and says, hey, Saul, I had a chance to do this to you again. And in verse 25 of 1 Samuel 26, Saul says this, may you be blessed, David, my son. You will do great things and surely triumph. See, words of flattery are great. If there's no heart change in that person, words don't mean a whole lot. And you begin to identify those people that speak things into your life or say, I'm sorry, I really love you, but their actions show others. That's a key sign that you may want to recognize that as a toxic relationship and find a way to deal with that. Now, would you guys turn to 1 Samuel 27? Could I get a volunteer to read the first verse?
I can.
Okay.
And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than just I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand.
Thank you, Sandra. So David obviously recognized that Saul's not good for him. That's what we call a toxic relationship. And one party is bad in the relationship. It's killing you. It's affecting you in all kinds of negative ways. Saul obviously wanted to cause harm to David. But at the same time, David loved Saul. He was his father-in-law. And he loved him, and he wanted to honor and respect him because he was also God's anointed king. And so what do you do in that situation? What did David do? He left the situation. He left it. He said, I'm going to go where I can be in peace away from Saul. And that was a very wise thing for David to do. This was a toxic relationship. I also did some other research on what are the signs of a toxic relationship. And these are some things you might want to take note of and you might want to think about. And I'm not saying this so that you go back and point to your friend and say, you're toxic. That's not the point at all. But these are some things for you to think about. And sometimes you might be the toxic one in the relationship. And that's a hard thing to face. So number one, you're walking on eggshells. If you're constantly walking on eggshells around somebody else, that may mean there's a problem, that could be a toxic relationship. Number two, you're riding an emotional roller coaster with your friend at the controls. If this relationship causes this to happen with your emotions all the time, that's probably a toxic relationship. You're made to feel guilty for any and everything that you have that they don't. You guys have probably had some of those, right? Where there's this guilt and there's a competition. It's kind of done in a passive-aggressive way. But you know that there's some competition. Somebody's jealous about the way you do things, what you might have. The other one is your friend must always be right. Always right. Never willing to accept your opinion, your input, always right. You feel exhausted and torn down when you're with your friend. Anybody been in those situations? Just feel belittled, feel worn out, feel emotionally drained. You end up feeling angry, belittled, frustrated. Those are toxic relationships. There are people that can just suck the life out of you at times. Number seven, your friend causes strife in your marriage or in your home. And guys, when it comes to marriage, for those that I've done some counseling with, that means family members too. You can't allow any outsiders to bring strife into your home. You have to guard against that. Those are toxic relationships. James 3:16 says, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice." That's not a relationship ordained by God if it's causing those things in your life. It's based on selfish ambition and selfish gain. And what the Bible teaches us to do is put the other before ourselves. And so if you want to grow in Christ, if you want to become the person God has called you to be, you have to focus on the things of the kingdom. And if somebody keeps dragging you into a situation or an environment that takes you away from God, takes you away from his call, then you really have to evaluate that. Toxic relationships are not godly relationships, point blank. They're not. Somebody want to turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and read verse 15, or 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33?
Got it.
Okay.
Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character.
Thank you. Bad company corrupts good character. That's what I was saying, is that it's one thing to be able to influence somebody else. It's another thing if somebody not walking with God begins to influence you. That's a trap. That's something you have to see and be able to recognize and be able to step out of. We've had discussions in this church many times about people who came to know Christ and they had to basically separate themselves from relationships of the past that were not good for them. That's an important thing to do. Anybody that struggled with addiction knows you don't want to hang around people that are doing drugs. Anybody drinking or trying to get past an alcohol issue doesn't want to go hang out in bars. Okay? It's the same with our spirit. Anybody that wants to grow in Christ and mature, you don't want to be yoked to somebody over here that's doing the opposite. Toxic relationships often lead us into sin, anger, lies, jealousy, all the things that are not fruit of the Spirit. It brings out the worst of us in many occasions. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." Companion of fools. We've talked about this before. Be careful about your friends. Choose people in your life. Don't let them choose you. Be selective. Be selective. When it comes to the feelings of rejection, God accepts you. Remember that. The world's going to reject you because of Jesus Christ, not because of who you are, but because of who He is. Many will reject you for that, and that's okay. They rejected Christ just as well. It's not a personal thing. It's they're rejecting Jesus Christ in your life. And if they want to continue to do that, you've got to separate yourself in some way from that.
But it's a hard thing to do when you're coming out of an environment where you've been stuck like that for your whole life almost. Yeah. And you're trying to find a way out and you're trying to get better and you're trying to do better. And you got to want to change, but it's hard when you're the only one looking at the other side.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's easy. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying any of this is easy. But if you want to grow in the right direction, sometimes it's necessary.
Jesus himself said, "I've come to bring division," said a man against his children.
But God allows you a new set of friends if you open your heart to that. You have new friends. You have totally new people in your life than you did 10 years ago.
That's why exactly why we're here.
Yeah.
It's because of the friendship and fellowship.
Absolutely. That was our whole point with this, is to develop that. And so let's talk about another point about toxic relationships, is they distract us from God's purpose for our life. It can be a trap. It can be something that is just trying to distract you from doing something that God's really called you to do. Okay? 1 Corinthians 7:35. It says, "I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord." There are many distractions in our life that take us away from focusing on God. And there are a lot of people that God will bring into your life that you're either to minister to or that He's brought in to encourage you. If the person that you're trying to minister to is not receiving that, is toxic, is causing harm in your life, you might want to reevaluate that. Because you're spending all these cycles on somebody that just honestly just wants to push your buttons, wants nothing to do with God. And there's people over here that are hungry, and God will bring them into your path. Mark 4:19, this is the words of Jesus. He says, "But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful." If a relationship is making your life unfruitful, if it's causing you to steer away from God and steer away from His word and distract you so much that you can't do anything for God, it's time to reevaluate that. I've had to recognize those things in my life many times. I've had people that, cry, I need help. And by golly, I'll help you. I'll be the first one to step up and talk to you and see what you need. But what you find is sometimes either Satan plants somebody in, or it's just a person that has an alternate motive. And what you begin to find is that they're just draining you and draining you and draining you. And there's all these other people over here that you're not able to attend to that really want to do better.
A lot of times people cause their own problems.
We all cause a lot of our own problems, right? I mean, sometimes we don't see the whole picture. We make bad choices. I mean, the list goes on. But if you want to really honestly get better and get help, Jesus Christ is the answer to everything. If you don't want Jesus Christ, if you're not willing to look to Him for the solution, and you just keep asking me to help you and help you, but you're not willing to take a step, I have to reevaluate that. And that's happened many times. And it's hard. I've had to say no in those scenarios. What do we do about breaking these toxic relationships? How do we deal with them? And what does the Bible say? John Worley, who's a PhD and a pastor, wrote an article called Walking Away from Toxic Relationships. He says, first, you must identify and accept the reality of an out-of-balance relationship. That's a first step. You got to recognize it. You got to be able to understand, as much as it might be painful at times, to recognize this is an out-of-balance, unhealthy relationship in my life. The second thing you have to do is not try to be God to the other person. This was an area where I struggled with in my life in the past. I felt like I'm the only person that can save this person. I'm the only person that can make a change in their life. That is a bad place to be, folks. Very bad place to be. Isaiah 45:22, it says, "Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." We can't save anybody, guys. We might be able to pull somebody out of a lake that's drowning, but we can't do anything more than that. And we can do nothing apart from Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one that saves. We cannot save anybody. We shouldn't try and play God in these relationships. We should let God be God and let us be His vessel. But when the person continues to reject, you've got to understand you've done what you can do. You've planted the seeds. It's time to move on.
Aunt Margie used to tell me that nothing returns to God void. So sometimes we have to plant the seeds and then leave it alone. And if you remove yourself from their life, then just pray about it, because God still has their hand on that person. And up to Him what's going to happen from there on out. Because I've had that where I'm afraid to let go of somebody because I'm scared I'm the only influence they have.
Yeah, I've seen people ruin their marriages over this. Mm-hmm. I've seen people destroy their children over this. It is unhealthy. It is bad. Proverbs 29. Well, I'm sorry. The next thing this man says is become comfortable with criticism. I think that's another area where it's hard to break these relationships. And Roy, maybe this is where that struggle is that you're talking about. You're going to get criticized. People are going to come against you anytime you step out of a relationship like this. Most likely the other person is going to stir others up against you.
Boy, that's true.
Go watch Mean Girls. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. You have to be able to accept the criticism. Proverbs 29:25 says, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." It hurts when people come against us. It hurts when people criticize us. It hurts when you have good motives and people try to knock down everything you stand for. And it's okay for it to hurt. You know, the saying, no pain, no gain. That's a hard thing to do, man, because sometimes we have to suffer pain in order to get things right in our own life and to grow. You know, it's like the gym. I hate going. Ask Cindy. I mean, it is a struggle for me to go because I have so many other things to do, and it's painful when I'm there. And I have to give up certain lifestyles to make it work. I have to give up certain foods in order for me to benefit. But then I start to see the benefits. I start to see what it's doing for me and how much better I feel for it later on. And I'm glad I do it. That's how life works. Sometimes we have to go through some pain. It's not easy. The next thing he says is progressively end unhealthy relationships. Progressively. You don't just say, you know, you're toxic, see ya. We're still supposed to have the love of Christ in us. And you can put people to a distance. You can set up boundaries. You don't just have to be mean about it and say, you're a jerk, see ya. David didn't do that with Saul. David loved Saul. David cared for Saul. You could see it. One of the things that if you continue to read through 1 Samuel into 2 Samuel, Saul ends up being killed on the battlefield. He actually takes his own life. And Saul, or David, mourns over Saul's death. He mourns over it. But David knew that I have to keep this man from a distance. I can love him way over here. I can pray for him. But I can't be near him. It's unhealthy. It gets the best of me and it gets the worst of him. Matthew 5:29, and this is a hard verse to read. Jesus says, if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. I think this is very true when it comes to those type of relationships. They can become a pit that suck us down and we never get out. We're to love our neighbors. There's no doubt about it. We're to love our neighbors as ourselves. Love is hard sometimes. Love doesn't mean all fuzzy and cushy and I'm going to send you flowers every day. Love means you're hurtful to others, and therefore I'm going to set up some boundaries so you can no longer hurt people. You know, our first call is to love God and then our neighbor, by the way. And if this person is keeping you from loving God because it's a toxic relationship, then it's better to sever that off. Matthew 10:14 says, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. I've had to bring that into my life many times. You know, I'll witness to somebody and I'll see this glimpse of hope. I'll see that, okay, this guy is starting to see Christ. They're starting to come around. And then conversation after conversation after conversation, this person's not doing jack. I love them, but it's time to kick the dust off my shoes and move on because there are other people that God has put in my life that I need to go attend to. And those type of relationships cause all kinds of emotional roller coasters. You know, there's guilt. There's a number of things that it can do to you if you allow that type of relationship to remain. I think the hardest thing is our definition of love when it comes to these situations. The Bible is very clear about what love is. I've talked to you guys before that it's a decision. It's not an emotion that we can't allow emotions to run our life. We have to allow our thoughts to run our life. Emotions can mislead you. Your thoughts can too if they're not properly focused in the right area.